humanity hanging on a cross of iron. Dwight D. Eisenhower, commanding general of the forces in Europe during World War II, supreme commander of the post-war NATO forces, and 34th president of the United States, used his wartime experience to put our militaristic mania into perspective. He said, "Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, and from those who are cold and not clothed. This world in arms is not spending money alone. It is spending the sweat of its laborers, the genius of its scientists, the hopes of its children." He forgot to mention the blood of its youth and innocent civilians. He goes on to say, "This is not a way of life at all in any true sense. Under the cloud of war, it is humanity hanging on a cross of iron." Charles Beard, the American historian, said, "You need only reflect that one of the best ways to get yourself a reputation as a dangerous citizen these days is to go about repeating the very phrases which our founding fathers used in the struggle for independence." Thomas Jefferson said, "A nation that gives up liberty for security is worthy of neither." Mark Twain, "To be a patriot, one had to say, and keep on saying, our country, right or wrong, and urge on the war. Have you not perceived that that phrase is an insult to the nation?" Albert Einstein, "All of us who are concerned for peace and triumph of reason and justice must be keenly aware how small an influence reason and honest goodwill exert upon events in the political field." Thomas Paine, "Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must undergo the fatigue of supporting it." Clarence Darrow, "True patriotism hates injustice in its own land more than anywhere else." General George S. Patton, "If everyone is thinking alike, then somebody isn't thinking." During the war crimes trials at Nuremberg, psychologist Gustav Gilbert visited Nazi Reichsmarshal Hermann Göring in his prison cell. We got around to the subject of war again, and I said that, contrary to his attitude, I did not think that the common people are very thankful for leaders who bring them war and destruction, Gilbert wrote in his journal, Nuremberg Diary. "Why, of course people don't want war," Göring shrugged. "Why would some poor slob on the farm want to risk his life in a war when the best that he can get out of it is to come back to his farm in one piece?" Naturally, the common people don't want war, either in Russia or England, nor in America, nor for that matter in Germany. That's understood. But after all, it is the leaders of the country who determine the policy, and it is always a simple matter to drag the people along, whether it is a democracy, or a fascist dictatorship, or a parliament, or a communist totalitarian regime. There is one difference, Gilbert pointed out to Göring. In a democracy, the people have some say in the matter through their elected representatives, and in the USA, only Congress may declare wars. "Oh, that is all well and good," Göring responded, "but voice or no voice, the people can always be brought to do the bidding of the leaders. That is easy. All you have to do is tell them that they are being attacked, and denounce the pacifists for lack of patriotism and exposing the country to danger. It works the same way in any country." Abraham Lincoln said, "America will never be destroyed from the outside. If we falter and lose our freedoms, it will be because we destroyed ourselves."